food, if God can bring the water, the animals, make man and make woman, if God, come on somebody, if God can do all of that, what in the world makes you think that God cannot handle what you have? What makes you think that God cannot answer your prayer? What makes you think that God will forget and forsake you? What makes you think, my goodness, I need somebody to help me here, because God sent me by. I'm at the end of this broadcast, hadn't said a word that I thought I was going to say, but I'm so glad there was a Holy Ghost. I'm so glad, I don't care what your pastor said, I'm glad that there was a Holy Spirit who's orchestrating and directing this earth right now. I'm glad that Jesus came and died on Calvary's hill and was resurrected on the third day. I'm glad that he was received by his daddy in heaven, and he went and prepared a place for me. He prepared a heavenly place for me. Well, I need somebody to know God is. Yes, he is. And I want to thank him for it. Father, in the name of Jesus, for this day, I said in the name of Jesus, for this day, God, somebody received the word of deliverance on this day. Somebody heard something that now they can go back home with a little bit of dignity, with a little bit more integrity. Somebody heard a word that they can go back and say, look, if God be for me, who can be against me? Somebody heard a word that encouraged them in the middle of that storm, the loss of their loved one. Somebody heard a word that even though they haven't gone through a storm, but they've already said, look, when I go through, I'm going to pray and talk to God now. Before, and if I go through, I'm going to be ready to do it according to the master. I want to be made fit for the master's use. God, we thank and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Well, thanks of God, our time is up. This has been Pastor Charles Simon of New Life Christian Fellowship Ministries of Alexandria, Louisiana, located at 4521 Lee Street Extension. Thank you for listening, and if you want a copy of this message, or if you want to support this ministry with a tax-deductible contribution, write us at Post Office Box 5791, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Again, that's Post Office Box 5791, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. And if you need prayer, call us at 318-715-8920. 318-715-8920. Be blessed of the Lord, for God is still on the throne.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all
right. Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
God says in his word, Romans 13:7, that we as Christians must give honor to whom honor is due. In January 2014, we, the ministry staff and co-laborers in the gospel, will honor our man of God, Dr. John Montgomery, in recognition of his 25th year of pastoral service, ministry, and leadership at our church, community, his city, state, and nation. Dr. Montgomery's silver anniversary will be celebrated the entire month of January. This month-long celebration will culminate on Monday, January 24th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Greater King David Baptist Church Multicultural and Educational Center, 222 Blanc Road, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dr. Montgomery has truly been a blessing to so many near and far. Join us in exhibiting grand love and support for our great and deserving leader. Your words of kindness, fellowship, and gifts of love will be appreciated. No gift is too small, and certainly no gift is too large. We pray multitudinous returns on your gift. Please send all gifts to Dr. John Montgomery, care of Reverend Daniel Smith, 911 Lodell Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Make all checks payable to Dr. John Montgomery. For additional information on exciting events for Dr. Montgomery, phone 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577.
May we stand to our feet for the word of God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this preaching opportunity. Open our ears spiritually, our hearts, our minds, our eyes, that we may hear, see, and feel that you desire us to know. Give us revelation knowledge. Give us understanding. Give us power to practice these principles. And God, we'll be ever so careful to give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We are preaching and teaching from the book of Hebrews, the faith chapter 11, Hebrews 11. And I want to pick up where we left off at in verse 13. Verse 13, we're going to try and move through the entire chapter, but looking at Hebrews 11 and 13, the word of the Lord says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. These all died in faith. The first thing I want to look at, just for helping those who may not have been with us from the beginning, is understanding who these are. We want to back up and pick up so that we can go forward and get the rest. But beginning in verse 4, it's talking about Abel. In verse 5, it's talking about Enoch. In verse 7, it's talking about Noah. In verse 8, it's talking about Abraham. In verse 9, it's talking about Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise with Abraham. And in verse 11, it's talking about Sarah. One of the things that you will note is that the record says that these all died in faith. So what were they noted for? Well, let's walk back through and see. Abel was noted for his work, for he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Enoch was noted for his walk of faith, because God translated him, because he had a testimony that was pleasing to God. Noah walked in wisdom, because after 120 years of preaching by faith, he was wise enough to follow his own counsel. Abraham walked in faith of willingness, because he was willing to obey the Lord when he was called out to go into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance. The word says obeyed. So he's noted for his willingness by faith to obey. And then Isaac and Jacob in the 9th verse, who are heirs of the same promise, were also willing by faith to obey God. And then Sarah received strength to conceive seed and brought forth a child in her old age, because she judged him faithful who promised. So Sarah's faith was worthiness. She counted God faithful, which made her worthy of a miraculous birth. Amen. Now, it wasn't an immaculate conception, but it was a miraculous birth. Because she was well past the age of childbearing years. And yet at that time, and even in her youthfulness, could not bear a child. And God waited until there was no doubt in nobody's mind that she could never have a child, that God would give her and Abraham the child he promised to him. So these are the folk that the Hebrew writer is talking about. These all died in faith. But you know what excites me about this word? Not so much that the scripture says these all died in faith alone, but it's what the scripture doesn't say. It doesn't say faith died in all these. Somebody don't hear me today. I said the scripture did not say faith died in all these, but rather these, in all of these died in faith. And so what's important about that is to help somebody who has a dream, who has a vision, who has a calling, who has a promise, who has a goal. Whatever it is that God has inspired in you, or God has called you to or chosen you for, know this, that as long as your faith lives, that promise, that goal, that desire, that vision, that what have you, lives also. The problem with many of us is we will never see what God promised us, not because we died in faith, but because faith, yes, died in us. God has made some of you a promise since you were a child, has not yet brought it to pass, and some of you have just given up on the promise, said, well, it's been so long, maybe I miss God. Maybe I misunderstood God. Maybe I did something that displeased God and God changed his mind. Can I tell you, God is not like us? God is not an Indian giver. He's not a dream stealer. He doesn't take something away that he's given to you. As a matter of fact, he's clear in his word that he says his gifts are without repentance. Whatever God gives to us, he gives to us knowing us full well even before he gives it to us. And so sometimes what we've got to understand is we've got to go through some things, but we've got God's timetable. And faith should not die in us waiting on the promise, but being faithful enough to believe God that whatever God said, God will do. These all died in faith, not receiving the promises, plural. They received some as they went along, but they didn't receive all. They didn't receive the promise that they were all entitled to. But here is the clue. They died believing it was coming. Here's what they knew, and I want you to catch this. They knew that if they didn't get it in this lifetime, they were going to get it in the next lifetime. They believed God so faithful to do what he said he was going to do that if God didn't do it then, he'd do it later. But here's what they knew. He was going to do it. And see, when you have that kind of faith in God, to believe God, no matter what you see, no matter what goes on around you, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter how long you've been dealing with it, when you can trust God and believe God and not allow the externalities to mess with the internalities or the eternalities, then you are going to have what God says. Not having received the promise, but listen to this, having seen afar off, but having seen afar off and being, listen to this word, persuaded of them. Now the promises that God made them were so powerful, and they took it so personally that whether God provided it today, tomorrow, or whenever, they just as good as had it right now. See, you got to be able to trust God like that. To know that when he says it's just as good as yours right now. And so you fix your mind and you fix your focus and you begin to walk in that thing like you've already got it. You have it already. It's already yours. It may not have been delivered yet, but it's on the way. Your order has been confirmed and it's being processed and it's on the way in a day. And I can say like the Clark sisters, I expect a miracle every day. God will make a way out of no way. I expect a miracle every day. God will make a way out of no way. Just believe and receive it. God will perform it today. Oh, I wish I had a helper in the house. And so when you begin to believe God, you begin to expect the impossible. You begin to feel the intangible. You begin to see the invisible. Folk might call you crazy, but that's all right. If you can expect the impossible, then it don't matter if they call you crazy, because God gonna give the crazy folk the impossible. If you can feel the intangible, I can feel him moving all over me, and somebody sitting right next to you don't understand what you. I wish I had a wit. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. You can feel the intangible. And then when you can look and see the invisible. How many times have you been looking in the cloud and you saw a certain design and you told somebody, look in the sky. Don't you see this? And they look, I don't see that. Man, don't you see this? Look at this. And you try to explain to them, and they can't see it. Well, maybe you just don't know. You are an invisible seer. You can see some stuff other folk just can't see. And it's by faith. And don't think it's strange. Don't think it weird. Just know it's an act of faith that God shows you some things He ain't showing everybody else. Come out, ought to say hallelujah to the King. So listen to this. Listen to this. But having seen afar off and being persuaded of them. Persuaded of them. Here's what you need to know. His word was good enough for them. They were persuaded, listen at this, not by what they saw, but by what he said. They were persuaded by what he said, did not wait till what they saw came to pass. They believed it when he said it, like it had already happened. So here's what you need to know. While they were waiting on the package, they already had the joy. So many of you miss that. You wait till you get the package to have the joy, when God gives you the joy before the package gets there. If you're operating in faith. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When God says something, because he has AAA1, matter of fact, there ain't no rating on his credit, it's so good. If he said it, it's going to happen, because he's got that kind of power in his word. That ought to be enough to bring you joy immediately, regardless of when the package arrives. But listen at this. Not only were they persuaded of his words because he promised them, but the word says, and embraced them. And embraced them. That meant that they began to live as though it was already in existence. How can you embrace what ain't there? So when they embraced it in the spirit realm, though it was not yet there in the natural realm, it was as if they were already experiencing it. Listen at me. You see, one of the things that you need to know if you're going to please God in your faith is you're going to have to operate on a whole nother level of faith. When you're persuaded that God said it in his word and he made that promise to you and you believe it, then you start walking and talking and telling and acting as if you've got it right now. Your demeanor, your mentality, everything changes. You no longer become a victim, but you become a victor. You begin to celebrate the reality of this. Listen. Just knowing that what God has given to you is on the way should bring the joy that makes you shout when others ought to think you ought to be crying. That makes you run. Ain't nobody behind you. That makes you cry when ain't nothing wrong. Make you scratch when you ain't even got an itch. It ought to make you feel like you have connected with God and you embrace, you hold on, you believe that this thing is already done. That God is no shorter than his word. And so they were persuaded by the promise or the word that God had given them, and they embraced it. Here's what they didn't do. Say, Lord, you said you were going to give me this. Or you said you were going to give me that, and it hadn't shown up yet. I want to make sure you ain't changed your mind. No, you don't even question God. You don't question him because you realize that all things work together for good. For them that love God, for them who are the called according to his. You got to realize God is working it out for your better good. And sometime when God delays, as you've already known, he's not denying you. He's holding it at bay for an upgrade. Because how many times has he promised you this, but he's done so much more than what he promised you? But he didn't come when you wanted him to. But he was always on time. See, you've got to embrace it in such a way that God knows whenever it shows up, it's all right. Because you are trusting him on a whole nother level. And you're believing God in such a way that you're already living in that expectation as if it is already here. You're smiling like you already got it. You're walking differently, but your shoulders squared off, head lifted up. You're walking like you're a conqueror. There's confidence oozing out of you. When folks see you, they want to know what you got a smile on your face for. What you always smiling about? Well, if you knew what I knew, and if you were connected to who I am connected to, no matter what you're going through, you would smile also, because God has got this thing fixed. And look at what the word says. And they confessed, listen, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Why would they confess that? Because here's what they want you to understand. The reason they died in faith was because they had not made it home. And this world was not their home. And if they didn't get everything that they were supposed to get here, it's because they had not yet made it home. When it talked about in the 10th verse, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It's talking about Abraham by faith looking for that holy city, that New Jerusalem. And the reason he tabernacled here, which was a temporary tent and dwelling and place of worship, was because he had not found the holy city and could not settle down and make himself at home. So when you look at it, he recognizes, until I make it home, I'm going to do what I can while I can on my way home. Lord, I wish I had somebody in the house. And so they confess, we're strangers. If this world don't treat you like it ought to treat you, don't get upset. Why? Because you're a stranger. Jesus said, if they hate you, know that they hated me before they hated you. Know that. And if I have overcome the world, ye shall overcome the world also. My brother, my sister, God wants to walk us to walk in faith, so much so that we recognize this world is not our home. And what he promised us, we will get it either on this side or on the other side. But eternity, listen at this, lives in us now. Eternity lives in us now. And if we believe God and trust God, then we will have what God has promised us today, tomorrow, or in time. And God wants us to die in faith and not faith to die.